Hello, everyone. Let's get up on in here. We are going to talk today. We're going to do Q&A today, number one. I'm going to do a few announcements along the way, and we are going to talk about module two of No BS. So I'm going to go over just a few key points from module two that I want to make sure everybody understands, specifically around neutralizing. I think that is of the four N's, which are notice, normalize, neutralize, next best thought or action. Neutralize is the one that I continue to see people get tripped a little bit up on, and I'm going to clear it all up today because there's one simple trick and hack that will make it super simple to really understand what neutralizing is. So let me get Coach Lisa up. She's going to be here for all of you today. So if you have any questions, post them inside the Q&A box, and Coach Lisa and I both will be answering. She's going to answer things that she can answer and things that she thinks I should talk to everybody about. She will save it for me, and then I will answer them at the end. So this is usually about a 60-minute call, somewhere between 40, 60 minutes. If you're brand new, you don't have to be here. These are called the optional calls. But if I was brand new and there was going to be one live call that I either listened to the replay or I attended it live, it would probably be the Wednesday Q&As in the very beginning, because as you're going through the No BS weight loss course, the Wednesday Q&As are where I typically am diving into more of the concepts of the program and answering rapid fire questions. But we have lots of good calls. You can listen to as much as you want. You can leave as much as you want. Your main goal is every damn day you make a plan. Nobody gets a get out of jail free card on that one. So everybody gonna make a plan every single day, whether you want to or not, whether you think you're gonna follow it or not, whether you think you'll lose weight or not. Like, y'all, I don't give a fuck, and neither should you, on whether or not you believe in the plan, whether or not you are excited about the plan, whether or not you think it's worth it, whether or not you have time. At some point in your life, all of those thoughts, you have to quit living by them, because they are nothing but excuses and obstacles. I don't care if you change them. I don't care if you feel better about it. I don't care about none of that. I just don't want you listening to that shit anymore. At the end of the day, tell yourself, no more excuses. Friend said that making a plan will help me lose weight. And instead of me thinking I know better, this is what's so crazy. Your brain will trick you into believing that you somehow know better than me. Let's just clear the air. Number one, I done lost my weight and kept it off for 15 years. Number two, I done built a business around it and helped thousands of other women lose their weight and keep it off. There's two big ass reasons why I think my advice might need to override your bullshit around the plan. Number three, why the fuck you here? If you're going to be here, then do what I say. What is so crazy to me is y'all will go, like, you'll go to some gym and some buff little dude who's like 22 eating chicken, ketchup, and broccoli will tell you to do the same. And for some reason, you'll kill yourself to do all that. And here I am. I'm like, bitch, you better put them nachos on that plan. Let's just get down to business. Just don't eat when you ain't hungry. And y'all are like, I don't know. This might not work. But Jimbo over there with tats and tans and muscles and chicken and ketchup, somehow he knows best for a 50-year-old woman. Y'all don't really check your brain sometime. It don't know. It usually don't know dick when it comes to losing weight. Most of the shit that your brain's going to tell you, that's why we have you do module two, which is this week's focus. It's all about listening to that horseshit that your brain tries to tell you about weight loss. I would bet you, most of you, if you told me all your thoughts about weight loss, 98% of them would be lies or crap you've heard that we're all like, okay, when we say it out loud, it kind of sounds dumb. It's like, so moral of today's story, when it comes to the 24-hour plan, you bitches don't know more than I do. And this ain't me sitting here trying to like be above you or anything else. It's to say, like, good fucking Lord, listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. Just plan. Just do it. So that's the first thing you got to do is an OBS woman. You got to make your plan. I'm drinking the Sprite today. I'm telling you, the stomach is not right. I am on my period, and this my hormones are like the Hulk right now. I'm not in a bad mood. It's more of just like, I feel like I just got hormones breaking me from the inside. All right. The second thing you got to do is listen to OBS. So we are on module two. And today I want to talk about a couple of the concepts. Let me pull my notes up. They always get hidden behind all my screens. The first thing I want to talk about is we're going to bust the excuses around the four N's. And I just kind of want to deep dive into them. So when you are doing module two, I teach you the four N process. This process I developed, I think it was late last year, maybe earlier this year, as a way to help people understand when we start listening to our thinking, we can't get caught up in beating ourselves up about it. One of the hardest things to do when it comes to losing weight is, well, let me just back this up. The reason why most of us have never lost weight has nothing to do with what we ate or didn't eat. It had nothing to do, like it's not the overeating. It's what's causing all of it. The root cause is where module two comes into play. So most of the time when you've been losing weight, you have been given meal plans, calorie ranges, and all this other stuff. They tell you what to do, but they don't help you remove the obstacles that make doing that stuff hard. So if you're sitting around all the time thinking, well, right now things are just too chaotic in my life. Things are too chaotic in the world. So I don't have time to lose weight. That thought is what actually causes you to be overweight. That thought is what will cause you to just eat your face off. That thought is what has you laying in bed at night, eating ice cream, worried about the status of the world and stuff. So if we can solve for some of that, what ends up happening is that making a 24-hour plan, waiting for hunger, stopping at enough, all of those things become exponentially easier. They don't feel as hard because now you're removing the root cause behind why you've been eating to begin with. So like, for instance, that person who's sitting around like, you know, too much shit's going on. One of the reasons why we do the four N's is so we can break down, is it true that your life is happening and that has anything to do with how much time it takes you to eat? Because your brain will trick you into thinking like, oh my God, it just takes so much time. I'm going to have to listen to all these videos. I'm going to have to make this long plan every day. Like your brain will elaborate the story to fit your narrative, which is I'm tight on time. So now I'm going to describe the program to lose weight as wildly time consuming instead of being very factual about it. Like a plan literally takes 2 minutes a day. My life is not in such chaos that I don't have 2 minutes. Corinne said, I don't have to listen to everything that she comes out of her mouth. There's 5 total hours of content inside the No BS Weight Loss course. Do I have 7 minutes a day? Like in less than, when we do the four N's, we start seeing, when I'm taking all of the inflammatory language out, when I'm breaking things down, then I have reality staring me in the face instead of my crazy fantasy land stories. So that's why we do module two. So the first thing that we have to understand about the four N's, before you can start using them, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, when you get to module two, all will be revealed. So you just listen for now. And you can look forward to module two. There's no wrong way to use them. The only wrong way to do the four N's is not to use them fucking at all. And here's how I know. I came up with the four N's. Yes, I'm really good at it. Yes, I can do them like a boss. I have been training my team on them, and they still sometimes don't do it the way that I think they should. And yet, They are all doing just fine. I watch y'all post your 4Ns in the Facebook group. Very often, I would have done it a different way, but you got relief when you did it your way. The purpose of the 4Ns is not where you get each and every step correct. Like, I'm not your teacher, and I'm not going to say, like, everybody submit your 4Ns homework so I can grade it, you know, tonight. We ain't in school. Y'all going to have to quit acting like asshole kids in a classroom. Here's what we're doing. When you use the 4Ns to the best of your understanding, just however you're understanding it, what they do is they take you from just thinking your thoughts and believing them and feeling like shit or going to eat because you feel like shit, and they get you looking at them. They move you from reacting to your thinking to now examining your thinking, just thinking it through. Do I want to think like this? Do I like this thought? Is it even helpful? Is there anything else in the world I could be thinking? That's the purpose behind them. So you cannot do them wrong. And the nice thing about it is the more you do it, the reason why I put it inside the planner for you to be able to practice your 4Ns each day is so that eventually what happens, you just don't believe every negative thing you think anymore. I have been journaling and doing the 4Ns and, you know, like looking at my thoughts now for years. My typical journaling now lasts 2 to 3 minutes at most. It doesn't take long. And I am really quick when I'm writing things to be like, oh yeah, that's some bullshit right there. That's where we want to get you to. We want to get it to where so many of your painful thoughts or your excuses or the things you don't even realize, like so many of you think like something tasting good is factual. That is just one thought you have about that food. Like if you only look at nachos and you only think like, oh, they taste so good. And you have a belief that foods that taste good are hard to quit eating. If you never look at that and question it, then you just believe it. And then anytime you're around nachos, guess what you're probably going to do? Hoover time. Hoover, 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 Hoover. Just plug me into the wall. But if you start looking at it tastes so good and you realize that's one way to think about nachos, I could also be thinking about they taste good and I get to plan them whenever I want. You could look at them and say, like, nachos are great and they're better. They taste better when I don't overeat them because then I get to enjoy nachos plus weight loss. So do you see how like, it tastes so good. You're like, that's just the way it is. When your brain, when you never look at your thinking and question it, like, wait a minute, there's other ways we could be talking about nachos. Then you start getting empowered because there are empowering conversations we can be having. So the first thing is that when you can get into the habit of looking at your thoughts, next thing you know, you're someone like me who you may be talking to someone and say, you know, that's not even true. So often when I am talking to my best friend or I am talking to Chris and I'm just bitching and moaning, now because I've examined my thoughts so much, I hear them and I will catch myself out loud and say, you know, that's not even true. Here's really what happened. This is all that happened. You train yourself to learn how to see things more factually instead of seeing things inflammatorily. And I don't even know if that's a word, but we're going to go with it. So they help you get past your roadblocks, like with your typical food excuses. And the first two are all about, so noticing your thoughts and normalizing your thoughts. This is more about the examining of your thinking and then neutralizing. And next best thought is more about transitioning your thinking. So I want you to think about like, we're just going to cut it in the middle. The top half, noticing, And normalizing is all about, I'm looking at my thinking, I'm noticing my thinking, and I'm understanding my thinking. I'm not changing anything yet. When I move to neutralizing and I move to next best thought or action, now I'm shifting perspective. I'm looking at it through a new lens. All right, so let's look at neutralizing because that's the one that I know a lot of you need some help with. So notice is simple. I just want you to notice a thought, like any thought that you're having. Literally, and I want you to look at the ones that you probably don't think are thoughts. Like, it tastes so good. It's hard to stop. I don't have time. Most of the time, y'all are looking for something that Dr. Phil would uncover in a talk show. We are not having our Dr. Phil moment. All we want to do is find bullshit little thoughts that keep us from doing what we say we're going to do. I like spontaneity is another one. The 24-hour plan is limiting. Y'all got a ton of them. Now, when you get to normalizing, this is just where you want to understand it. Why might I think that? A lot of times, a default normalizing thought for me is, I learned this as a kid. Or I would, like, for a lot of you, when it comes to a lot of your diet talk, like it's hard to stop or whatever like that. Most of the time, it's because I just always tell myself, it's no wonder sometimes I have a hard time stopping around foods I love because I've done so many crazy diets in the past that told me those foods were bad. So if I'm eating them, it triggers some kind of belief that the food is bad, therefore I'm bad. So therefore, my brain probably thinks I'm going to cut it out again because who wants to be associated with something bad? And I'm never going to get it again. So it would make sense that I would feel like I need to just finish this. This might be my last hurrah. Especially for a lot of you who have done lots of diets in the past where it was very restrictive. You had certain foods you just couldn't eat. Things were taken away from you. Like if you've done cleanses, if you've done Whole30s, all kinds of stuff. Those diets unconsciously make an association in your brain that there are things you shouldn't be doing. And when our brain makes that connection, even when we're not doing that anymore, it could be triggered to think we're like, you'll feel panicky or like you're doing something wrong when even when you're sitting here and you're following what I'm telling you. All right. So neutralizing. This is where we're like trying to just get to the facts of the situation. So when we think about facts like carbonated water in a clear bottle with green and yellow and white ink on a band, nobody's getting super excited about this description. This would be the facts of this bottle. We are, and so the reason why I say it this way, the reason why we call it neutralizing is because facts don't really feel anything. They don't get you excited. They don't blow the wind up your skirt. Now, if I said, this is a delicious cold Sprite, still bubbly, that when I opened it, you heard the some of y'all probably got thirsty. Some of y'all thought, ooh, that sounds good. It elicits things. So when we are neutralizing, we just want to get to the facts. And facts are boring. The way that I've always described it is, if you told whatever story, whatever your thought is, if you were trying to tell somebody else about whatever your story is, they should be looking at you like, why are you even telling me this? This is the most boring thing I've ever heard from your mouth. They don't have no questions. They're not like, get me popcorn, tell me more. You really want it to just be a fact. So a fact would be like, if your thought is, my boss, what a bitch she is, because she said blah, 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 blah. The facts would be my boss said, and it would be the words she said. And until you have a thought about it, no one gives a fuck, including you. So you're just looking for facts. Let's say we're talking about it tastes so good. The facts would be what was on your plate. Nothing more. So you're really just trying to think about, all right, this thought that I'm having, what is the fact of it? Now, don't get too hosed up. You just want to make it as factual as possible. And here's why, because a lot of people ask, are we trying to just make our thought better? It's like, no, you're trying to make it factual so that you can be decisive about how you want to think about it. Most of us, what we do through life is we're like, your brain is always creating stories. So if you listen to No BS, one of the things that I teach you in there is like, your brain's a story making machine. If someone rings the doorbell, your brain doesn't go ding dong. Your brain starts thinking, huh, I wonder if that's the Amazon package I ordered. Your brain starts like saying things like, I really hope that that's not one more person trying to sell me on pest control for my house. Or you'll hear the ding dong and think, I hope someone goes and gets it. Or I don't have time to go answer the door. Or I'm like, your brain is just a story making machine around those stupidest of things. If your brain will make up that many stories about somebody ringing the doorbell, imagine how many stories it's making up about the 24-hour plan, stopping at enough, waiting for hunger, drinking your water, getting your sleep, what you weigh in. Like, you actually care about all that shit. So your brain's job is to make stories up. The four ends, and when we get to neutralizing, is to go from whatever story that your brain lobs at you in the notice line is for you to strip it down and say, all right, here's my facts. Now, on purpose, with a deliberate mind, what do I want the story to be? And it can be anything. Sometimes you want to feel like shit. I'm going to tell you what. Wasn't too long ago. Well, all right. We just got back from Vegas. We had went for my niece's 21st birthday, planned this trip for a year. We had an amazing time, by the way. She definitely got spoiled by her aunt. I didn't have a daughter. So I always tell everybody, I'm like, she's my one shot. I didn't get a daughter. I have a son who literally, when I take him shopping, I'm like, what do you want, baby? Can I just get you something? Because he never wants for anything. We were at a mall the other day. He could have had anything. And he wanted a pretzel. He was like, well, I thought about it. Could I get a pretzel? I was like, yeah, you can get a pretzel. I really wanted him to buy pants. He needs more pants. But he's like, no, he doesn't want to waste. All right, side note. So we're in Vegas. And my husband is such a routine fanatic, like OCD about his routines. Well, we are in Vegas and we are with a group of people, so we don't have our normal Vegas routine. And I can tell the first day he's grumpy because Chris is usually grumpy. And so when we call it serious spoony. That's what Logan calls Chris spoony. And that's a long story in and of itself, how he got nicknamed spoony, but he got serious spoony face. Kind of like walking around basically with a cob up his ass. And I'm sitting there and I'm starting to get pissed. And like my brain is just like, he's going to ruin my weekend. He always acts like this when he's around my family, blah, blah, blah. And I went to the bathroom and I was like, all right, what is actually going on here? What are the facts? And I listed out like what was going on and I decided, all right, I'm going to have a I'm going to talk to him, but I'm going to do it from the place of, this is a special trip for me. And I don't ask much out of you when it comes to doing things, but I totally expect you to be like happy this weekend, whether you want to be or not. I said, after that, if you want to be like grumpy and all this other stuff, you can. Because when I looked at it, I was like, I'm not going to take no shit. I'm not going to spend my whole weekend trying to people please. Like, I'm just not doing that. This is one of those times where I looked at my thinking and I broke my facts down. And I was like, I am not going to sit here and try to people please. I'm going to enjoy this weekend. And I also made an agreement with myself. Like, if he decides, like, he's just like, not into that, or he's like, it's a no, or I can't even pretend to be happy, whatever it is, I'm going to let him be him. But I'm also going to tell him, just don't come to the family things. Go do whatever it is you think you want to be doing. You just go do it. Like, I don't need you to have a good time. But I also don't need you to be with me not having a good time, because that will be more detrimental than anything. So when we do the four N's, it just lets us examine our thinking. It lets us decide, do we like our thinking or not? It lets us figure out on purpose the conversations we want to have and don't have. And then sometimes we just come to a better place. Sometimes it's just like I could have easily just said, you know what? It's uncomfortable for him, blah, blah. And I have done that in past family trips. Chris has a hard time being around. My family is very loud. We talk all the time. We never stop. It's just not Chris's vibe. Chris needs lots of alone time. And so we have had family trips where I'm like, this is just Chris. This is how he is. I'm going to give him space and I'm going to like enjoy my family, and I'm not going to expect anything out of him. I'm going to be compassionate and understanding. And then when we're in the room together and stuff, I will make sure he knows he's loved. On this particular trip, I didn't want to do that. The four N's just give you authority over the stories you're going to tell yourself and the stories at which you're going to operate from. And that's the purpose of them. Because the more you get to where you can think about your thinking, be deliberate about your thinking, question your thinking, the more power you have in your own life for you. You become the beneficiary of all of it. We don't do any of this for other people. Now, other people become a beneficiary, because when you kind of calm yourself down, when you're no longer like me, I used to be a hothead. When you're no longer overreacting to everything, it's like things can happen and you're just like, I got to take a walk for a minute. I need to think about this. I got to collect myself, instead of just reacting, slamming doors, or maybe isolating, or just immediately eating. You become somebody who's easier to live with. Not only you can live with yourself easier, but sometimes other people become the benefactor of it. I know I've become a better mother. I've become a better wife, a better daughter, a better sister. I've become a better employer. And I think I've become a better leader for all of you, because I've gotten to where I look at my thinking all the time and I decide how I want to show up in the world for me first, and then everybody else second. Because most of the time when I put, like, this is what I think most of you are like. When I put me first, here's what I know about me, and I know a lot about all of you. We're good people, and we love the people in our lives. And when we put ourselves first, we're not being selfish. We would never put ourselves first in a position that made people suffer on purpose. Most of the time, when we think about ourselves first and we take care of ourselves, everybody else around us benefits more. Like, they get to feel the peace that we're creating for ourselves. A lot of times when I think about things and like I'm able to, like, there's times when I do things for Chris and Logan that I realize I'm actually putting myself first when I'm doing for them. Because I've really thought about it and I've thought, this is the kind of person I want to be. Like, I want to be understanding and compassionate. There are just times in my life when I want to do something with my son. I will tell you, the version of me I don't ever want to be is the martyr version. I don't want to be the person who sits around in their head all the time thinking like, I do everything for everyone. Everybody is first. Everybody's this. It's like, it's so draining. Like, if you're going to take care of your kids, at least tell a hero story about it for your own sake. Really look at all of it. So often we're doing it because we actually love them, not because something's wrong with us. So when you kind of start examining your thinking and stuff, some stuff you'll shift your perspectives on. You'll just show up in your own fucking life feeling better about yourself. Sometimes you'll understand. It's like, yeah, no, I'm actually doing these things trying to buy love. I need to quit doing that. Because if they don't love me for who I am, then it's all just lies. I'm lying to them, trying to get them to love me. And if the only reason why people love me is because of what I do for them, number one, I've lied to them because they don't know who I really am. And number two, they have fell in love with the fake ass version of me. They don't actually love me. They love the representation that I gave them. Give people a chance to authentically love you. All right. I don't know how I got off way over there. That was definitely not in the notes, but that was an extended off-ramp from the interstate of the four ends. All right, let me give you some examples of how you can break down some common excuses with the four ends, and then I will get to some of the questions. Number one, here's a common thought. I notice that I'm thinking planning is hard, or it's hard to plan every day. So that's a common thought that we all have about planning. Here would be normalizing. It makes sense that I would think that. Because in the past, I had followed very restrictive meal plans. So my brain made a connection that meal plans are hard because the ones I did in the past actually were really hard. When they don't give you enough food, when they don't give you all the macros that you need, like if you don't get enough fat, if you don't get enough carbs, if you don't get enough protein, like if they're cutting major things out or cutting out all your favorite food groups, your brain is like, that shit was hard. And here you are getting ready to make a meal plan. It doesn't matter what I said in terms of you get to put anything you want on all that other stuff. Your brain is having the triggered past diet response. This is why we want to notice our thinking, because our plan is not like those last plans. So normalize and be like, all right, that's why it makes sense. This is why my brain thinks a 24-hour plan is restrictive. Or why it should have more restriction on it. Sometimes y'all think like, yeah, but I can't lose weight making the 24-hour plan this way. That would be normal. Because every time I've actively really tried to lose weight, I only picked restrictive ones. So now my brain thinks that's the only thing that will work. It's not right now open to other possibility because I haven't given it other possibilities. Neutralizing would be, the plan takes 2 minutes. Like if you really want to know if you have like how hard it is, next time you make a plan, set a timer and actually time it. A lot of you say things like, it takes a lot of time. It takes a long time. I don't have time. If we're going to neutralize it, I would make a plan and I would time it so you can write down in neutralizing. My average planning time is over 3 days, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever it was. Like literally give yourself the facts of it instead of all of the thoughts. And then whatever food you're putting on there, that's a fact. The sheet of paper is the fact. Nothing's hard until you start having hard thoughts about it. Like, takes a long time. I can't lose weight doing this. There's no way I can put all my favorite foods on there. Those things are what makes it hard, and those deserve the four ends. Next best thought or action, plan just the food you're going to eat each day to teach your brain that it's easy. So I want to give you a hack that somebody posted inside the Facebook group. I've seen this hack before, but she explained it so well, and I want to tell all of you. So I'm going to take my jacket off, y'all. I hope my top don't fall down, but I'm wearing a little cami, but I'm literally burning up. So a lot of you, what happens is when you start using the 24-hour plan, you have so much past diet trauma and you have so many food rules that are circulating in your head that it can be hard to do the plan. It's like, it just triggers all of that in you. So one of the easiest ways to kind of like, people will say, I don't know what to put on the 24-hour plan. Even though we tell you anything in the world, your brain is still like, yeah, but there's got to be foods I can't put on there. Like, has to be. What you can do is for like a week or two, start with just writing down your actual foods each day. So don't start with planning ahead. Start with just tracking what you normally eat. Then the next week, you're going to go back and look at all your actual, and you're going to plan from there. So for like week one, as an example, all I want you to do is track your actual, and I want you to practice starting to eat when you're hungry and stopping at enough. And then every time you eat something, I just want you to get used to tracking it. I just want you to get used to putting it on a piece of paper. This is really helpful because what will happen is when you go back and review, number one, you're going to have thoughts about all your food. It would be really good for you to take a look at your food for a week and then write down your thoughts that you have about it, because it's somewhere in there is probably why. Like you might have thoughts of like, I shouldn't be eating this much. I'll never lose weight eating these foods. So when you look at what you're actually eating and you see those thoughts are what are preventing you from making the plan to begin with, because you're still hanging on to this idea that there are these bad foods. There are these things that are going to limit you from losing weight. Then the next week, I just want you to plan one meal a day. The rest of the day, you're on track your actual. And then the next week, you're going to like take a look again and you're going to evaluate, how did I do? Like, did I stick to that one meal? Start with your easiest meal first. The one that's very simple for you to plan. Just to get into the habit, to teach your brain, this is easier than I think. I'm uncovering a lot of my rules around food. And if you don't know what to do with the rules, as you like look at things and you say like, all right, I looked at the rules. I looked at everything that I thought about my food. This feels awful. You take all of it to Ask Coaches. And you create a post. You're like, I did what Corinne said. I tracked my actual. Here's like my top three thoughts that I have about my food. What should I do next? Let them coach you on that. Or run your thoughts through the four ends. So on week two, what I want you to do is I want you to just pick one meal and get really good at planning it each day. It doesn't have to be the same one each day. It can be whichever one you want. So maybe on Monday and Tuesday, you're like, breakfast will be easy today. Maybe on Wednesday, you're like, I'm going to try dinner. I'm pretty sure we're going out to eat for dinner. I know where we're going. I'm going to go ahead and plan dinner. So then that week, you're just going to get used to deciding ahead of time and still tracking your actual. But for all of you who think you cannot lose weight doing this, do not forget, you are still working on, before you eat, you ask, am I hungry? If you're not hungry, don't eat until you are. If you start eating, I still want you to ask, was I hungry when I began? If you forgot to ask the question, if the answer is no, you know for sure it's time to stop. If you weren't hungry before you started eating, you might as well stop when you recognize you did it. No sense in finishing, right? Doesn't make sense. It would be an amazing opportunity to practice not being a perfectionist, not being all or nothing. The one thing I know is that people who are all or nothing don't lose weight because they don't learn how to like stop the bleeding. It'd be like somebody getting shot and saying like, oh, well, we got to let them bleed out. They're already shot. Moving on to the next person. Would you ever do that with your child? Your child got shot, would you just be like, well, fuck, you're bleeding. Nothing I can do about that. Don't call the ambulance. No, you would stop the bleeding. That like is the same thing when you like, if you're eating and you're like, it's never too late to ask, am I hungry? Never. Ever. If you realize you weren't hungry to begin with, you just stop. You have like, you tell yourself, look, I ate some. I don't have to keep eating. I wasn't hungry. Let's move on. If you are eating and you finish and you realize that you did not ask, am I hungry? You can still say like, all right, I wasn't hungry. So instead of beating myself up for eating, why don't I fucking figure out why I was eating to begin with? Why do I think I decided to eat in this moment? Was it just habit? Was it just laying there and I didn't think about it at all? Was I bored? Was I tired? Did something upsetting happen? And I went and ate. That's good information to know because, like, especially if, let's say, something upsetting happens, wouldn't it be great to understand that when things upset you, that you tend to eat? So now, like, let's figure out ways that we can handle things differently. Because if I'm a betting woman, I love to gamble, and I will bet all of y'all's asses, this ain't the last time something upsetting is going to happen to you in this world. We're going to get upset all the time. Welcome to being a human. You might as well start figuring out how to deal with your fucking emotions other than with Twinkies and Ding Dongs. So the next week, week three, add in another meal. Start planning. Start looking at what you're actually eating and start planning from that. That's how you start building that menu of like, here are all the things I want to eat. And so now I'm just going to start planning for all of those things. And I'm going to continue to do doable hunger and get my sleep and drink my water. Almost all of you are going to have no problems losing weight starting that way. The reason why planning is important is because at some point what happens is what you want to do is you want to override that part of you that just eats anything that's put in front of you. We want to get really good at thinking about the foods we're going to eat for the day. And eventually what happens, and this is what happened for me, is when you're making plans and you're allowing yourself to eat all the foods that you normally wouldn't when you're trying to lose weight, you start noticing you don't have to have them with urgency anymore. That part of you that thinks that you can't have them, that they're bad and stuff, when that storyline breaks down, then you start including more things in your planning that matter other than just an orgasm in your mouth. You start thinking about like poop. You start thinking about the more you plan and the more you track your food, the more you start noticing energy levels. Like there's like, for a lot of us, when we first start, when we're overweight, food is so important to us. It's how we're dealing with our lives. It's the only break we get. It's the only time we don't feel guilty. It's the only time that we treat ourselves. That's the only time we celebrate. Like so much is put around our food. We can't handle it being taken away because we haven't learned how to like celebrate in other ways. We haven't learned how to like notice different things in our life. That's why the four N's are so important because it starts changing your perspective on your life. And when your life starts getting a little bit better because you're telling better stories about yourself and your life, food doesn't have to be the focal point anymore. Food doesn't have to be the only thing that you allow yourself to feel good around. You now start allowing yourself to feel good in other areas of your life, which means food now doesn't have just one purpose, to taste good and make my ass happy. You start finding other reasons to eat it. You start experimenting with like maybe a fruit or a vegetable every now and then. I know for me personally, and here's how, let me take a drink. One of the things that's very different about me than in the past is when I used to go on vacations, it was all about the food, all about the food. And when I would come home, I would have a really hard time getting back into like routine. I'd come home and I'd want to keep eating junk. Because when I first started losing weight, food still was so important to me. And it still felt so good. And I'd come home and I'd want to keep that. I hadn't learned how to enjoy my life yet. Then as I was losing weight and I started eating like more salads, more fruit and vegetables, drinking my water and getting my sleep, I'd go on vacation and I would notice that right towards the end, I couldn't wait to go back home. I was like, this has been fun. Man, I just want some water and a fruit salad. Like I would start craving all of that because not only did the food make me feel better physically, but I liked my life at home. I missed my bed. I missed our home routines. I missed like those kinds of things. So there's such a growth that happens with the planning. That's why I have you do it. So back your way into planning if you need to. It's fine. However you get there will be totally fine. All right. Let's see what questions we have. Oh, I did want to, that was one of the examples. We had a couple of other ones. Lisa, if you'll go to my notes. Well, let me just tell them real loud. First is I want to just eat off plan. I notice I'm thinking I want to follow my plan. Here's the normalized version. I'm used to making diet plans that feel shitty and leave me starving. So it would be normal that I wouldn't want to follow this plan. My brain keeps thinking it's going to be ass, even if it's not. Neutralizing would be, this is the plan I made. That's the neutral. Like, it's not that I don't want to follow and everything. The neutral thing is, here's the food plan. I made it. I put the food on it. This is really good for all of you plan rebels who think like a lot of times for people who, when they were children, a lot of food was withheld from them. Like your parents were trying to get you to lose weight. They wouldn't let you eat. You'd be too hungry. They wouldn't let you have sugar. You couldn't have candy, all those kinds of things. A lot of times you have what's called rebellion in you as an adult. It's like, even if you're making the plan, there's something in you that when it's time to follow, you're like, fuck that. I'm eating what I want. And it all stems from back in the day, someone wouldn't let you. There were these arbitrary food rules. We're still having a triggered response as an adult. So the four N's would be really helpful for you to do them regularly and often on this, to remind yourself the only thing that's happening here is I put these foods on this plan. I did not plan in a way that's hurtful or restrictive to myself. Those are things that you would want to be telling yourself over and over. So one of your next best thoughts could be like, I don't plan from restriction. This plan has plenty of good foods on it. Every day I get the opportunity to make my mouth and my body happy with food. I get to eat the things I want when I plan them. You have to reteach your brain to not have the same old childlike thoughts. All right. Last week, my boss did something that was really insensitive. And after journaling and feeling a feeling, I discovered that I felt unacknowledged. I discovered that this feeling came from past experiences. I feel better about knowing what I'm feeling, but how do I get over the constant daily anger I feel whenever I am faced with the daily consequence of his insensitive decision? It just depends. So one of the things that you can do is you can just decide, like, I would start now writing, like, what are these consequences my brain thinks I'm having? Those are going to be another set of thoughts. So I would probably like the three consequences of what happened last week are, and that's going to be like your three probably most painful thoughts. Put those through the four ends. Then try that. Neutralizing will be really good for you because you have a thought that I am, here's the big thought that you're having. I'm faced with daily consequences of his insensitive decision. You haven't neutralized, he made a decision. Your thought is it's insensitive. I'm not debating on whether it is or isn't. I want you to debate in your head. Does it help you to keep thinking of it as insensitive? Or would it be better for you to be like, this is the decision. This is what happened. Now, how do I want to move forward knowing that this is the facts? Because each day you're having constant anger from thinking he made an insensitive decision where I suffer consequences. I would just list it all out. Like literally, this is where you've got to write it down and you got to see like, all right, pull out like the three consequences of this decision are, and I would take those through the four ends. I would take the sentence, he made an insensitive decision. Was it insensitive? Or do you just not like it? There's like, and I want you to think about this. There's a big difference between saying someone's insensitive and somebody making a decision and like, I'm very sensitive to the decision. I don't like the decision. That's actually a more empowered stance than to be thinking he did something to me. Like, and that's important for all of you. So often our thought work is very nuanced that way. It's like, do you want to keep thinking he did something to me? Because then the only solution is this guy that you keep saying is insensitive now has to change in order for you to feel better. Highly unlikely. Or do you want to think he made a decision? And I'm just assuming your boss is a man. It could be a woman. I don't know. I'm trying to look, say, no. They will say they made a decision. So now you can get to decide he or she made a decision that I don't agree with. And here's why. And then come up with really good reasons why that are empowering, not putting it back on them. Because whenever we need some, like all of you, it's so sexy to want other people to change, to make us happy. That is the hardest way ever for you to have peace, calm, resolution, happiness, love, anything that you want. You're asking someone else to be like, change as a human. Change every way you naturally think, change all of your automatic thinking, prioritize me above your own needs, do all of that so I can feel better. And we go through life like wanting that. And then what's so crazy is that when I say like, hey, I took a survey. Let's pretend Corinne went and surveyed all your friends and family. The survey came back, y'all. They said, I would love her to change and only do and say these things, never mention these things, blah, blah, blah. And then I'd just be really happy. So do you mind changing for all of us drastically from what your nature is? You would be like, no. So many of us complain. It's like, oh my God, I'm always having to people please and stuff. And yet you're like, I'm so upset. People are not people pleasing me. Nobody likes to do it. That's why it rarely gets done. The best thing to do is please yourself. And the way you please yourself is you look at your thinking and you figure out, what do I think about this? When I think this was an insensitive decision, I get pissed. I'm the only one suffering. So how do I create a win here for me? And I just think like, all right, let me think through this. Like, were they trying to be spiteful? Probably not. Was there a better way they could have done it? Probably so. But if I had to guess, they made a decision. And now I need to figure out, do I agree with it or not? Rather than sitting around making this all about feelings. That would be my best advice. Here's a thought I'm noticing. I've been in No BS since March, and I should be better at the four basics by now. I should be better at the thought work by now. All right. First of all, there's no shoulds. I just would try to erase that word from your vocabulary. Why should you be better? Like, just think about how disempowering it is to sit around and be like, I should be further along. I should be better at this. I should be doing this. This is like what I call tornado signal thoughts. When you hear them, you need to say like, nope, that's not even true. I would just be thinking, I've been in No BS since March. I continue to work on my thought work. I continue to work on the basics. Like, this is what's always amazing to me. Y'all are probably like, let's say you're 50 years old and you've been here since March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, 7 months. And you've got 49 years and 3 months of conditioning that goes the alternate way. And you're like, well, holy fuck, I can't believe I haven't morphed into a brand new thinking human being in 7 months. What is wrong with me? It's like, I don't know. I've only been doing it for 15 years and I'm still getting good at the basics. Y'all, I'm not perfect at them at all. Sometimes I overeat. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I wait for hunger. Sometimes I forget. Every now and then I grab a bite off somebody's plate. Like, things happen. But I don't sit around and think like, I should be better at this. I should be perfect because I teach it. The reason why I'm at maintenance is because I don't think like that. I just notice when I'm doing something, I'm like, hey, it's a good thing to work on. And I'll like the next day say like, hey, yesterday you ate past dinner. So what do you think you ought to do tonight? What is something you can do tonight to make tonight easier? I'm just always thinking about what I can do to make things easier on myself, what I can learn from things. And if I stay in that mindset, I just get better at it. I never sit around and expect 100%, especially because it's not even needed. I will never succeed at this. Would love a sample four ends. So let's just take one. Let's just take, I never do the work. That one's probably the easiest one because you're on the fucking call asking a question. So that's already a bald-faced lie. You need to just call your brain out for like, I never do the work. Really? What are the facts? Have you listened to any damn calls? You're listening to this one. That would be the fact. So neutralizing would be like, I listened and asked a question on today's call. Not, I never do the work. Notice how that in and of itself already feels better than the way you're describing it. I should be better at thought work by now. Or I should be better. I should be better. Let's just take that one. That'll be the first thing. I noticed I'm thinking I should be better. Normalizing would be like, look back on your life. Were there times where your parents were hard on you? Like if you came home with a B, it should have been an A. If you cleaned your room, you should have helped your brother do his. There may be areas in your life where you learned that like what you're doing is just not good enough. A lot of us learn this in school. They want everybody to get straight A's. There's like honor rolls and stuff. Wouldn't it be really cool if all that just went away? I'm just going to tell you, as someone who, like my brother, super smart as an adult, as a child, did not make good grades. Very hard time concentrating and stuff. My son, you know, he's neurodivergent, has autism. You know, him giving his best effort was going to be like C's, but he's super smart. He's found his lane as an adult. But we get trained as kids that there's like these levels of better. So it makes sense that as you, when you become an adult, that you still have these should be's. There's always something you should be doing that's different. And we make these assumptions. If I was only doing this, then all my dreams would come true. Instead of like, all I need to do is figure out what I'm not doing or what I don't understand and ask some questions. That's it. So like normalize. Somebody said, wow, I'll do that to my own kids. Yeah, like watch for those things. Very often it's like, and I have been guilty of this, and I really learned how to break this habit with Logan, which is basically, it's like we're questioning our children all the time. And we do it from a, I don't think there's any parent that's just trying to be mad at, or be like an asshole to their kid inside of no BS. But very often what we do is, no matter, because we have a story about ourselves that we're not good enough, we're terrified our children are going to live this life where they're not good enough. And so when we fear that they won't have like this perfect, happy life and all their dreams come true and blah, 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 then we are constantly trying to get them just do a little better, do a little better, do a little better. It's out of our own fear for their future that we do this. It's like, well, you did that, but what about this? What about this? Look for, if you're doing that in your own life, you're probably accidentally doing it with your children too. And so if you get really good about not having the next rung is like, no, if I was just doing my thought work, then I would be happier. If I was just doing my thought work, then I would be losing more weight. Rather than thinking you should be doing something, just tell yourself, I'm learning. Rather than pressuring myself and making this end all be all, what if I just decide I want to do more thought work? Because this is probably the other truth, the next best thought. It's not that I should be better at it. The truth is, I want to do better in thought work. My brain just asks about it in a demeaning way. The truth is, I want to be better at the four basics. My brain is just asking me in a dumbass way. It's trying to pressure me into it. I don't need the pressure. I can just want it. I can just say, you know what? I deserve to look at my thoughts. I deserve for it to take as long as it takes. That's the mark of perseverance. Not the mark of somebody who's an idiot. So you get to think about these things any way you want, guys. Any way you want. I just want you to choose wisely. And that's what the four N's are all about. Last, before we go, I just want to congratulate. We had 13 more people join the Queen's Club this week. Yay. And we also had 3 more women reach their maintenance goal this week. Yay. So if you want to, you know, get on the list and everything, if you go to nobswomen.com, that's your login site, nobswomen.com. That's how you get to the membership site. You will find in the menu how to let us know if you have lost 25 pounds, if you were in maintenance, or if you've lost 100 pounds, because we also have a century award for those. All right. I will see y'all on Sunday. Bye, y'all.